लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. I'm going back to New York. I'm going back to the rising star of 2025. So he got a few awards in his vertical career already. And to be honest, I didn't know him until he got this award. Oh, shame on me. But I changed that. And now he's a lot of verticals doing, and to be honest, we agreed actually that he wants to play my doctor in a special storyline, but that's another episode. So I'm happy to have him. I'm saying hello to Teek Sadhana. Welcome to my podcast. How are you doing, Teek?
Hi, thank you for having me. I am well. And yes, I will play your doctor, and I cannot wait for that. We need to get that script written because it's going to be amazing.
Really? And then the first thing I will try to do is win the lottery, that we have enough money to shoot that without needing any platform already, so that we can do it.
We can just do it independently.
Yeah. Where will you shoot?
It's a good story. If people,
where will you shoot that? Have you ever shot in Europe, America?
No, I would love to. It's a bit tricky for me to go back and forth between Europe and America just because of the borders and how crazy things are at the moment with going back and forth. But I would love to. I know there's really good, really, really good verticals being made in like the Ukraine and in Turkey and Germany as well. There's some companies that I'm hearing about in Germany that are doing some amazing stuff and really trying to make some moves forward in verticals.
But in Germany, there are no shooting locations actually.
No shooting locations. Why?
No, for verticals. I just saw the first vertical casting calls for Germany in German. But I'm not sure if that would be great because they are only searching for influencers with a lot of followers to do that and not for acting stuff. And so I wrote an email to this company because I did also some acting stuff here in Germany. And I know the casting company, and I wrote them an email and said, what the fucking beep are you doing? That is not good. What you are trying to do, I'm sure you will destroy the German market even before it has the chance to grow.
Before it starts.
Because
that's really smart.
The potential here in Germany or also Europe for verticals is really good and really big. But it's not common to watch verticals here in Europe. There are some shooting locations, as you said, Ukraine, Lithuania, Italy, Istanbul, England. They are already shooting there. But for the Western platform or for the Chinese platforms. But I recently discovered that Candy Jar is based in Germany.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
In Berlin. Yes. So maybe
I think they're doing some of the best stuff as well, Candy Jar.
Yeah. For me, it's Candy Jar, V-Glue, and Drama Pops. Drama Pops.
Cool.
I spoke with my review ladies. We are doing every month a monthly recap episode for the podcast. And every month, we are also searching the app of the month. And either it's Candy Jar, Drama Pops, or V-Glue. Most of the time.
Yeah. Month of the month. Yeah.
Because Drama Pops.
Interesting.
Every show I saw on Drama Pops was so great produced in post-production.
Yeah.
in storyline, in the quality. They're always having kind of new stories, not the super classic, a bit of the classic vertical tropes, but not so always the super classical vertical tropes. And I also heard from a lot of actor and actresses who shot in Istanbul, they were all happy to shoot there and felt so confident.
I totally agree. Production value and post-production quality is essential. I think that's what will bridge the gap right now between the people in the West who are watching them for the soap opera element and then the people who right now are rejecting them because they feel like B-grade content. I think if we can elevate the space and bring production value up so it looks cinematic, I think the West is too cinematically or too film literate. I think we recognize when things are not good quality very fast in the West because we're used to a certain type of filmmaking, that verticals haven't had to deal with that level of scrutiny yet. But as they develop more into the West, they're going to need to. Otherwise, they will be left behind. And that's like what you're saying about this casting company in Germany using influencers. That's a very short-sighted attempt that they're making to just get money, to get eyes, to get attention. And it makes sense to try and get the ball rolling, but it will kill the scene instead of grow it. That's about making a quick dollar. You know what I
In
mean?
my opinion, the influencers or the followers of the influencers are not the target group for verticals. You know,
Exactly.
they want to reach a followers, for example, on TikTok of these influencers. And when I checked a lot of big German influencers, that they have followers roundabout at the age of 20, but they won't bring the money. They won't purchase the memberships. So, in
Exactly.
my opinion, they are addressing the total wrong target group for this industry. And the other point I saw in Germany, the problem is when you are searching in Google for a German article or German informations about this vertical stuff, there was only one newspaper article. Otherwise, you won't get any informations about this vertical stuff. So, in my opinion, German underestimates actually how big this industry already is.
Sure.
So
I assume a lot of countries feel like that as well.
I'm trying, and I'll do that, to create, I already did one, some new online pages for filling this Google machines with informations in German,
Smart.
so that when people looking it up or saying, oh wow, I can get informed by that in my native language. Because as I said, I'm sure they underestimate totally here how big this industry is.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they
Definitely.
are, I'm sure they are thinking at the moment, yeah, that's a fling.
But when I started shooting these, the Chinese producers that I were working with were saying it was just a fling. They were saying, look, there's maximum a year and a half. In this, we're just going to make as many as we can here and then get out of it. And that was when I was making some of my first ones, right? These were honest conversations I was having, and then it exploded. And so what we have to do now is we have to predict the future a little bit in order to not get missed, because it's all moving so fast. So for me, that's where I believe the next stage is, bringing in film professionals here in, for instance, in the US, and elevating to a level that then is approachable for wider audiences. You know, you make verticals that look and feel cinematic, and you bring in more eyes, and then you can possibly change the purchasing model. You can change the subscription model if you need to. Once we have eyes and advertising money in it changes things a little bit. I'm not 100% sure that the model of weekly subscriptions right now will last forever.
Hopefully
I think
not,
people.
because they are really expensive. Actually,
That's what I mean.
for
Like,
Reelshot, for
it's not
example,
fair.
a weekly membership for Reelshot is actually $25 for me.
A week.
A week,
So I just don't think that that is going to survive very long. I think that that is a smart business model, but it will drain the audience too quickly. So then
Yeah,
I'm thinking, okay, well, where do we go from here?
especially since there are dropping more and more platforms. You cannot get on every platform you want to watch a show a membership.
Exactly.
That's
Exactly.
so
And this is where
silly.
different marketing plans will come in, different advertising avenues will develop as the scene develops. And there's so much money, there's so many opportunities in producing these verticals that aren't taken at the moment in terms of product placement or things like sponsorships, shooting in tandem and in relation with institutions like major museums and things like that. Tourism offices, you get a deal with, say, Berlin Tourism, and you go and shoot at the Brandenburg Gate, and you have a love scene there, and you have some of the money offset by this investment by Berlin Tourism. This is just smart filmmaking that I think will be part of the next phase of verticals. And the trick for us as creatives is to not let everything become an advert. Because it's very easy once product placement comes in for like everything and the whole reason we do things to sell a can of Sprite. And like that might get us all paid, but it's not going to be entertaining for anyone. And it's
Yeah,
very quickly annoying.
there were a few verticals with Shein. What's the correct pronunciation? Shein, this app from
Shane,
China,
yeah.
on Reelshort.
Shine? Yeah, I don't know.
You
I know
know
what you're
what I
talking
mean.
about. Yeah.
This app. Or these products, they had a lot of product placements in some of the Reelshot. And then every 30 seconds, he's, look, it's from Shein. Yeah, I ordered it from Shein. And I was so, really? Are we now at this TV channel where you can,
And
like,
then you press the button to buy it.
yeah.
But the model as it is, it will end up there really quickly, and then that will really alienate Western audiences. Eastern markets are way more used to there being that level of commercialism in everything. That's why, like, for instance, you look on TikTok, some of the most successful TikTok influencers coming out of the Eastern market are the women that hold up a shirt and then hold up a pen and then hold up a bag, and you can buy those items, right? They're really hugely successful in the East, but don't work at all in the West. So applying that logic, that Shein logic, does exactly what you're saying, where you're like, what is this? This is annoying. And now, if anything, I don't want to go to Shein. Because now I feel like they've tried to manipulate and interrupt my culture. Do you know what I mean? Like, this was my vertical thing that now I feel like Sheen is just using it, right? So we have to be really careful about how we can get more money in order to do better work, but also navigate it in a way that keeps the soul of what we're doing so that we don't piss everyone off.
As I said, the easiest way, I will win the lottery and we'll get, the European lottery
Yes,
jackpot
you
is round
will.
about 80 million euros. Hello? What the
Oh
heck?
my God. That's a lot of euros.
And a lot of verticals, if you're thinking about.
Well, listen, if you do win, when you do win the lottery,
I will.
expect a call from me, yeah? 'Cause we got some movies to make.
I had a big idea with Kirby Elwood. You know Kirby Elwood?
No.
She's an actress from LA. She did already
Cool.
27 leads, whatever. When I spoke
Yeah,
to her,
wow.
she was so upset that she hadn't the possibility in 2025 in summer to shoot any vertical in Europe. All of her friends were invited to shoot in Istanbul, whatever. She not. And she said, "Listen, I want to shoot so badly in Europe." And I said, okay, I will win the lottery because I'm craving for more criminal verticals, like Miss Marple
Cool.
and Sherlock Holmes one. So we had, when we were recording this $1 million idea, we will shoot, I will win the lottery, and then we will shoot six verticals, a vertical criminal serious one in Europe. The leads are two detectives, always the same one, who switch from country to country where they have to solve new criminal cases, and six verticals at the end of it.
That's so cool.
You know
That's
what?
a
Dion will
great
get
idea.
also a part as the sniffing detective dog.
Yeah, he'll be so good at that. And we'll
You know,
write into his backstory that.
he can smell the blood in the forest, and so, because we want to shoot one in Lithuania, want to shoot one in Italy, in Istanbul, in Germany, in France, and in Scotland, in the Highlands. And so.
Cool. Yeah,
know, it's kind of
cool.
mystery and
Yeah, spooky. Ooh, yeah.
yeah. And the funny part was, I spoke with two directors, and they both said, "We are so fucking in doing that," because one of them
Yeah.
already shot in Istanbul. And everywhere I bring this idea up, every actor and actresses, even the script supervisor and the makeup artist I spoke to said, "Oh, we are in, we are in, we are in." So
Yeah.
I have all the cast nearly right now.
You've got
It's
it figured out. Yeah, you just
all
need the
about the money.
money. Yeah. Isn't it always? Isn't it always? I wish I had unlimited money to do whatever I wanted. And we
But
could
do you
really make
think
some
you
cool
would be
things.
happy with that?
I don't think I would be stupid with money. I don't think I would like have a mansion and live like a sad rich man with my like expensive wine. I think I would like give it to people. I think you, if I won the lottery, you would tell because all of my friends' lives would get better. Do you know what I mean? Because like, what's the point in having money if you're just going to drink good, like good wine that tastes like 3 euro wine? Like,
I
who
would
cares?
maybe
Like, but
have
my family would change.
I would maybe have 10 dogs.
Yeah, 10 dions is crazy. That's a lot of canine removal after it's
Holy
broken,
shit, if every dog is so chaotic, like, oh
right?
no,
Yeah.
I didn't get it. No. So when did you shot your when did you shoot your first vertical? And how did you get into it? I mean, did you move to New York because of verticals or
No.
no? Okay.
I moved to New York initially because I went to drama school here. So I was living in London and I auditioned for theater school here in New York and then got in,
Okay.
which was crazy. And then I was like, well, how do I make that happen? So I moved, I worked, that was 2 years of like working in cafes and saving and saving and saving and saving. And then I moved across and I graduated in April 2024. And then by May, was filming my first vertical, May, beginning of June, May, I think. But honestly, I got out of drama school and I knew I had a year to figure out. I had a year where I was legal to work in the US. And then during that year, the idea is that you get as much work as you can in order to then become eligible for the 3 year visa that I'm currently on, which is another work visa. And so you get enough work, you like build an itinerary and you put it all together, which is a crazy process. My paper's worth 700 pages long in the end. But anyway, so I knew I needed work. So I got out of school and was very quickly looking for work on like all the websites and on Backstage found a job for something called Glory of Revenge, which I was like, ooh, sounds cool.
Ooh.
And I had never even heard of a vertical before. And I applied for it and I got a call from the director and the director was like, yeah, thank you. We need a new lead guy because our lead guy just dropped out last minute. Can we pick you up like tomorrow? We're shooting in Pennsylvania. And I was like, are you gonna murder me? And he was like, no, I promise. And I was like, okay. And so he picked me up. And this was when I had to like tell my parents what I was doing and then like it wasn't pornography, I think, because the script was a bit wild. And then ended up in a car, and yeah, the car pulled up out front of my house, and Mariah Moss is on the back seat, and there's like crew people, and we're all like ferried out to like middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, and it was honestly really cool. We were in like they hired two Airbnb mansions, and we spent half of the week at one, and then moved to the second one. And Mariah was like the best cast member you could possibly want to work with on your first vertical because she just totally showed me the ropes and like taught me everything and set me up. And then put me in contact with all the people she'd been working with because she had been working in verticals for like 6 months to a year before that point. So she was new but had figured it out, you know? So she totally introduced me to everything, and then set me on my way. And then the calls just kept coming from that point, which was very lucky.
How did you learn your text when you got 24 hours before that you called, "Yeah, you're a lead now. You have to be ready on set tomorrow. Bam. Here's the script. Have fun."
I went full nerd on it and like put all my little tabs
Is
and
that the
I
first
like
script?
labeled out the whole scene and like this was the script for the first vertical I ever did. It hasn't come out and I wish it did because I
It
think it got
hasn't come
canceled in
out.
the end. No, it's from so long ago. I think they must have thrown it in the bin because it was good, but I think there were some problems in the post-production stuff, which we don't have any control over, whether that's like issues between platforms or
But
whatever.
that was the one with
But it
Mariah
was
you
so
shot?
good. We shot the whole thing. We
And it
spent
never
like 8 days
came
out
out?
there. I know. If they're
Why?
listening, release
But
that
that
movie because it's going to
doesn't
be
make
good.
sense. You have all the they have all the costs, and then they it did So they
Yeah.
burn
Do
the
you know what I
money
mean?
and it's done or what?
Who knows? Maybe it'll come out at some point somewhere. Maybe it's still in someone's editing software and they're trying to figure it out. But it's been over a year now.
But then it has
So,
to be in a real good quality. If they would have one
yeah,
year
right.
to
It's
do the
technology.
post-production, hello.
Yep.
Or they
Yeah, I
total
know. No,
ruin
I have
it.
a feeling they were missing some. They must have been missing some like key parts or something that would make it not work.
No
Because it was a long,
sound.
it's a long, yeah. Yeah. The sound guy just didn't press record.
Yes.
It's like, it's 131 scenes. You know what I mean? It's a long page. Sorry, it's a long script. So, what is it? 106 pages. So
But you
it's not
did
like a
get your
short one.
paycheck for that one?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
And it
so
made
then
it.
it's
It
okay.
gave me the best summer. It was honestly lots of fun. I
No,
spent that
so it doesn't
paycheck
matter
in
if it
nice
comes
restaurants.
out or not, because even if it would come out now and be a super hit, you won't get paid more
I won't
money
get paid
back.
again.
Yeah,
No, but I'd
so.
like to see the movie at least.
Okay. Are you watching your verticals?
Sometimes, if
The
there's
whole
like
one?
scenes that I want to watch, no, I'll just watch a scene that I like, or like a scene, or if I want to see how something edited together, so I'll go back and watch that. You know,
Have you ever
it's
been
kind of, it feels like
annoyed
kind of
how
like
it turned out?
tasting your cake. Yeah, all the time, all the time,
Because
all the
your
time.
performance was so bad, or the post-production was so bad?
Performance stuff, I give myself a lot of grace for because you only get like you say, you get the script in a day and you get like maybe a take, maybe two takes. So there's the performances. I think we've got a long way to go in general in verticals before we really start deciphering good performances from bad performances anyway. But I do, it's things like how the rhythm of the scene works or whether like some of the art stuff looks good or looks the way that I was hoping it looks, or whether some of the stunt stuff works. And it's kind of cool sometimes to go back and just like see whether my memory of making that moment matches how it turned out in the product.
Are you a critical viewer when you're watching some stuff? Are you really more critical?
Depends on my headspace. Verticals, no, because there's no point yet. But films, yes. Theater, yes. I mean, that's like the core of like why I moved to America. So I care a lot about those two things. So I do have pretty heavy opinions on what I consume in terms of film, theater, and TV. Yeah,
Are you the theater type?
I love theater. Yeah, I love it. That's what brought me to America.
Do you watch also Broadway shows or stuff like that?
Kind of. It's really expensive, so it's hard to go.
Really?
But yeah, really, really expensive. I prefer regular theater, not musicals. I like musicals. I dated a girl who was a musical theater actress for a couple of years, and she was excellent at the art form, and so I got a lot of respect for musical theater. But it's not really my bag. I prefer regular theater.
Have you ever played regular theater?
Yeah, again, that's the majority. Until Verticals, the majority of my work was all on stage. So I've
Okay,
been really lucky actually to do a
then I
lot of work.
have a question for you. You know, I also did a lot of theater, and for me, I love the direct connection to the audience and getting directly feedback from the audience. And you know, although you are playing exactly the same piece, let's say 7 days per week, every day was different. Because on one day the people were laughing at maybe scene two, and next day scene two they were totally quiet and were laughing on scene four. Don't you miss that?
I miss it so much. I was thinking about that today, actually. And I was thinking about specifically when you do a theater show, and like there's all the chatter backstage during the show, and a different scene is up, but you run backstage and people are like, oh my God, like this, like you're saying, the audience is different tonight. Oh, the audience is bad tonight. The audience is good tonight. Or like one thing that, like, for instance, and this is what I was thinking about, I like it bugs me when you go backstage and other actors say, this is a really bad run today, huh? Or like, oh, the show's going bad, or the show's even the show's going good today, huh? Where, because I kind of feel like you have to switch off that critical lens when you're in it, when you're doing it. You can't be judging the story and the play whilst you're doing it. Leave that to the audience. That's their role. Do you know what I mean? But I remember that a lot from theater school, as people are trying to figure out, it's a lot of people's first time ever doing theater. So as people are trying to figure out how they even approach theater and how they feel doing shows, it was a lot of those people that would be like freaking out about the audience in the middle of the show. And it was a learning curve for them to realize, well, hang on, I have no control over that. All I have to do is just do my job, right?
You know, I'm just assuming that's total different to a vertical one because it's also rush, 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 rush. Check. Okay, take done. Next one, next scene, next one. And you are playing it mostly once or two time and then it's gone.
It's really hard. It's really hard to like keep it grounded and make it feel authentic and real. It's really, really difficult. And I think it will get better at it as we approach these things a little bit better. I think while everything is just rush, 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 and while the money is invested in order to make a quick dollar back, it's hard to make deeper work. And that's where this next phase I keep talking about is. We have to bring in a bit more effort. A bit, it's going to cost a bit more money, and we bring in a bit more artistry and watch how these things improve in the next year.
So, what keeps you so addicted doing verticals?
It's formed a great career for me now. I mean, like, I've got consistent work. I'm looked after by my community. It got me a visa, which is amazing. So I also believe in revolutionizing what we're doing and keep and moving things forward. I'm excited to be on the front foot of something. Like, we're right on the frontier of this new medium, and that really excites me.
Are you doing only verticals at the moment, or is there some maybe? Because I spoke, for example, to Tina M. Brooke, and she did lately for a few weeks a theater, and then now she gets back to the ver so she tries to keep the balance between that.
Yeah, nice. I would love to do that. I've spent the last year, like I was saying, just trying to get evidence for my visa, which I'll get. Now I've got that. I will get back to sort of work that means more to me. But at the moment, verticals have just provided such a comfortable way of life that it's been so consistent. It's been worth investing in. And then now we're building so much. It's so exciting. Hopefully, we can bring some of what we get from more refined pieces of art into verticals. But ideally, and I literally spoke to a manager today that I think I'll sign with. And I literally said to her, look, once our bills are paid from verticals, I want to get back on stage. Like, as long as we're both paid and we're comfortable, if a play comes up that I want to do, I'm doing it. Or like, for instance, I would love to, and I kind of plan with my friends to produce the play Hatful of Rain by Michael Gazzo on stage here in New York. And if I'm making enough money doing verticals, I can do that.
Oh, that's great. You know, I think doing only verticals maybe would be comfortable, but I think sometimes kind of variety is needed to improve also.
I totally agree.
So, how many verticals have you done so far?
Oofed, like 14, 15.
Okay, a question I ask every time a man act, a lead. How many proposals and how many towel drops?
Oh my God. I don't even know how many proposals. I've done at least like four or five. I've been left at the altar like three times as well.
Really? Who was so stupid to left you at the altar?
Come
Hello?
on, stop.
Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah, tell them. You hear that, guys? You hear? But
Who
yeah,
I
and
have
then
to speak with.
I'll keep that under my hat because otherwise you're gonna send evil emails.
Maybe.
Yeah, and then what, tile drops? I've done like a couple, like two maybe. Two. Yeah.
No,
I've been
because it was so
relatively
funny.
well spared.
I spoke, for example, with Casey Essen, and he said, yeah, he did 51 shows, 49 proposals. In the two ones he didn't propose, the audience get kind of, what, you didn't propose?
Yeah.
No, that couldn't happen.
Come on,
That's so what?
yeah. Oh my God, bless. Listen, they want what they want and they will get what they get. You know?
Yeah, to be honest, I saw you in a white suit. No.
Yeah. No, white suit is weird. I don't know why that white. I swear I've worn that like three times and it's the same white suit every time.
It
Literally.
looks so, no.
It's silly,
No.
right?
Who did the wardrobe in that one? Sorry.
I plead the fifth. They will not get flamed.
It doesn't suit with your tone and your look, like, you know, a
No, I
white
agree. I
suit.
agree. I look
And
like a weird like dealer at a casino or something. Yeah.
even as a doctor, I wouldn't give you a white color,
Right.
a blue one, you know,
Yeah. The blue
because the blue
sclerotes.
ones are more important. They are the surgeons.
See, hear that again, everybody? More important. Thank you, Michaela. I'm gonna sleep really well tonight. I feel gratified.
You are dreaming already about you as a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and me fixing your heart and
It's
going, I have an
fixed.
idea.
It's
Yeah,
fixed.
good.
Now you
Yeah,
have to say, I
because of
no,
me.
you don't have to say I have an idea. You have to say I knew exactly what's the reason for your condition. You have to be self-confident because you're smart, clever, you know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that would be so nice. I would love to see that. So if everyone is
Always gonna do it.
anybody is listening with a lot of money to do just one vertical,
Yeah, we just need
please.
one. Yeah.
Teek and I had such a great idea.
It's
Please.
great.
Am I able to play myself in the vertical then?
We could definitely try.
Then it's
If
more
you win the lottery,
realistic,
then
you
it's
know,
your
because I
money.
already have the
Oh, yeah.
scars and I have the origin papers.
And as I go to put the defibrillator in the wrong place, you can tell me, I'm sorry, Doc, it's actually here.
Like a parody. Sorry, Doc. No, that wouldn't work. No, please.
Move it a little bit. Yeah, now zap
Yeah,
me.
now you can shock.
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit.
So funny. Like
Okay,
airplane.
2026 is just started. Who knows how this year will.
Listen, I'm down. I'm ready. I've never been
Then
more ready.
we have to shoot this really in Europe. Maybe in Berlin in the Charité.
Oh, I've never been to Germany. I'd love to go.
Another reason to do that. Then we go also to a soccer game, okay?
I would love that. Yes, please. Yes, please.
I have some connections to get.
Okay.
I see we have a plan. Okay, it's all about the money. Shit.
Yeah. When was it not? We just come back
When
to the money.
will you play the next CEO billionaire with a big bank account?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can try and use one of the cards that they give us, the Black
Yeah,
American
or
Express
maybe,
cards.
you know, you see all the fast money transfer, you can transfer.
I all if some of the set money, the $100 bills, I'll just put them in my pocket. If I can get enough of them, we'll make the move. It might not be the Euro Millions, but it'll be a lot.
Take as much as needed for one vertical and your flight and your visa.
And my flight and my visa. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we got a
All.
plan here.
Yeah, oh, that would be. You know, visions are always important to have.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they cannot come true. So we have
It's true.
to hold that on. So, a question. Have you ever been a really bad guy in a vertical? All the verticals I saw with you were the lovey-dovey hero.
Yeah, no, not really. I played Eric in Hurt Me, Love Me for drama books, and like he's not the bad guy, he's the lead, but he's not a nice guy. He's very evil and he's quite abusive, and that's probably the closest. I've never played a villain.
You wanna play a villain?
If the project is right, if the project is right and like the paycheck is right, if everything aligns, I'll play whatever
You
role.
know, kind
I'm not the sort of
of.
actor who has to be like this guy. I'm happy if the role is good and the project is good and the people are good.
You know,
I'll
like
listen.
a psychological villain who tricks everyone psychologically.
I think Felix Mirbach in the game of choice
Oh,
Vertigo,
yeah.
he did a
Hell
great job. I'd love
yeah.
to do a role
He
like that.
followed me a long time in my dreams. Even with his look and with his smiling.
Oh boy.
That was so holy crap.
Yeah,
Yeah, he followed me up and.
he was great in that.
Absolutely. I was really shocked how evil he could be, to be
Yeah.
honest.
But that's what I mean. I think the more opportunities we give actors in this space to really act, the better we're going to get. If we
Yeah.
stick, if we stay really tied to the really simple storylines, we're only going to get simple acting.
Yeah, exactly. Totally true. That's why I was so happy to see kind of new storylines last year. Some of them written by actors themselves.
Yeah,
So
that's happening more and more now, yeah.
I'm hoping really for that more and more actors will try to do their own storylines, because in my opinion they know what the audience wants to see.
Absolutely. I
Hopefully.
think the biggest problem, like we were talking about before, is the current verticals are trying to meet both sides of the market and they're failing the Western side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
They're really big
hopefully.
in China, but the Western side is not adopting in the same way.
Yeah.
There's like a couple of different demographics in the West that watch, and
It's
that's
an
it. Whereas we
intercultural
can get more.
difference.
Yeah.
I'm
And that's not,
lecturing
again,
at
that's
the
not a bad
univer
thing.
I'm
It's just kind
lecturing
of,
it at the university, the
oh,
culture
cool.
map. So I know
Hey,
exactly what's
actually, I would
happening.
love to hear more about that. Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think we're just learning. We're just learning how to communicate between the cultures in this specific form, which is this art form.
Yeah,
So we're just trying to figure it out.
I think we are starting now in the 3rd year of the vertical stuff, and 2025 was already crazy in development. So I'm really curious what will happen in 2026. As I said, in my opinion, 2026 will be the start off really for the European market. And there is a lot of potential in it. And I think if the influence come also now, it's in shooting in Europe. But if the influence will grow here in Europe for the vertical stuff, there's total new types, I'm sure,
Absolutely.
which will drop. So what would be a role which will be really challenging for you? Maybe in preparation, or maybe in character, or maybe I don't know.
I think I would like another go at a character like that Eric character from Hurt Me, Love Me, but something that is written a little deeper. I would love to play a complex character like that was actually complex. I think I had to create a lot of the complexities for that character, and then that wasn't really supported by the script all the time. I would love a script that was really well written and that complexity was deeply embedded in that character, and I didn't have to sort of struggle so much to come up with it and then make it make sense when the script was doing all of its craziness, you know? I would really love to do that.
How did you prepare for that role? Because I assume it's not your natural character.
It's not. It's funny, actually. I played a lot of evil, angry characters in drama school. That was something I really liked stretching into. So it's funny that like in verticals, I've been very solidly typecast as just like the lovely green flag guy, which honestly for me in verticals is okay because of verticals I don't think are written really well right now. And so it's a struggle sometimes to have more brutal characters without them being kind of just awful or abusive or one note, you know? So for that role, really, it was about trying to find why. Like, the first thing I saw when I read it was that he was angry, And so it was about trying to find out why he was angry. And it's sort of alluded to in the script, but not really fully explained. And where I landed on was that he feels like everybody is using him. And then, sort of working from that place, his lashing out made more sense to me, and it made it easier to embody.
Do you have, I learned from some actor and actresses, they are having kind of special playlists to get into the mood for characters. Special song playlists with kind of rock songs where they have to get full of energy, or kind of classic music when they have to be more the weak person. Do you have something like that?
I don't use music. I haven't, it's not that I wouldn't. It's just not been a go-to for me. I think a lot. My brain goes, and so often I just have to like make room for my brain to do that in the context of the character. And when I do that, that for me helps me get into those places. I've used music before, but I find I end up more caught in the mood of things rather than the the specificities of the script. I think for me the best thing is to talk. Like I'll go for a walk and I just talk and talk and talk and talk out the perspective as the character and talk out kind
With
of my
yourself
intentions
or
and
what?
with myself. With myself. I'll often also, it's a weird one, but I'll interview myself. So I'll
Okay.
ask general questions.
Yeah.
Things like, what's your opinion on marriage, right? Or what's your opinion on money? What's your opinion on fashion? And then I'll have that recorded and I'll like hear the question, pause, and then speak it out from the character's perspective. And they sound random. It sounds really weird. But what it does is it gives you like a broad scope of what the character thinks. Because you might not have a line that says, I hate money. But if you know in your character that he has a disdain for money, the bit where he hands over the $100 bill to his wife or his ex-wife or something, there's more depth to that now because you, at least for you, understand your relationship to this thing in the world. So again, this is just for me. You could do whatever you want and probably act better than me and everyone else, but that's the sort of thing that I like to do.
I want to know, when you are getting so deep into this character, is it easy when the shooting is done to get off of this character, or are you kind of living on with this character in your mind for a few days, weeks, whatever?
I think for the verticals, because they're so fast, I don't get a chance to get as deep as I'd like. Hopefully that changes. So then it's easier to get rid of them after that. I did a run of a cat on a hot the cat on a hot tin roof on stage where I played Brick, who's the lead character in that play. And that's like deep melodrama Tennessee Williams. And he's an alcoholic and he's angry and he's ashamed. And I wrapped that run in that theater, and that took me a long time. I remember really, really strongly. I remember the last night of that play, and I remember sitting in my backyard at like 2 in the morning afterwards, and I was smoking a joint and looking at the moon. And I remember just going, oh, I'm gonna have to get rid of him now because he cannot sit with me any longer. And I was like trying to get it off. And it took, it, look, it's not so dramatic. It took a couple of days of like lounging around and doing my own thing and like being me. And then it kind of lets go. But I definitely felt that. So you hear of stories like people playing murderers on major TV shows and then them really struggling with it for a while. I can imagine, you know, that I did that play for like it was a matter of months, not 8 months, you know what I mean? It was like 2 months that I 3 months that I was doing that rather than it being an 8 month filming process. So, but that's definitely something that I've clocked that at some point in my career, I hope to have the privilege to deal with that problem, you know?
Have you ever played a role you didn't want to let go?
In a weird way, similarly messed up character. At drama school, I played a character in the play A Lie of the Mind. I played Jake. And he was like super messed up, kind of losing his mind, crazy man. But I had so much freedom in that role that when the play was over, I really missed it because it was one of those characters that I and the director really trusted me and let me just really go for it. And it gave me so much room to play and so much room to explore. And like you were saying before, like every night's different. It was like that. I could get up and like I had a really clear plot of what I was going to do, but the little details were what was interesting. So like where what I would notice on the wall that makes this moment happen would be different. It'd be a different mark each night, or you know what I mean? And I just had so much breadth for everything to change and breathe and move. And I learned so much from playing that character. So I didn't want to let him go at all. But I'm glad he did because he was crazy.
He was crazy.
He was
Sometimes a bit
crazy.
craziness is not so bad.
Yeah, he was very crazy. I go read that play, A Lie of the Mind. He was
Okay.
insane. Yeah.
So, what's important for you in a vertical that you say yes to do it? What is needed that you can get comfortable doing this vertical?
The first stuff is just life stuff. I need to know that I can get to the job. So if it's in Los Angeles, that they're going to fly me out there, or that's here, that I'll have transport figured out, and like that the pay is good. That's obviously just like me as a human being. I have to keep my rent paid and like make things work. So that's a big logistical element. And then in terms of content, I make sure that it's not too pornographic. I make sure that it's not too exploitative. I'm not a big fan of. Or like I don't like obviously like the extent of the abuse in a lot of these stories. And at very least, I like to know that if there is abuse in the story, that my character either that if I'm involved in the abuse, I have an idea of how I can work with the producers to change that, whether that's edit the abuse a little bit or edit moments to make them less grotesque and then still serve the story, but less intense or less grotesque. Or that at least like when I play these green flag characters, I'm not there. I'm not the one doing it, you know. And then that footage isn't going around forever of me waterboarding someone or something, which is crazy. But I like look. I have a vetting process. I go through and I like keyword search stuff. So I like look up nudity related things or sex related things. And like if there's something that just doesn't sit right, I don't do it.
I was shocked lately a bit because they dropped some verticals who was really full of nudity, even without trigger warning. And even in the first 20 seconds of the vertical, you see a total naked woman. I was so,
Oh,
what the
wow.
heck?
I've not heard of that yet in verticals. Interesting.
I can tell you later which one I mean. You can watch it.
Oh.
You don't need a membership. You just see
This is
it
before the paywall. Yeah,
exactly.
wow.
First 20 seconds. First 20
But see, this
seconds.
is what I mean. That you're doing that very purposefully. That is about trying to get people to watch, which makes sense if you're a data company, but if you're a film studio or you care about the well-being of people, this very quickly becomes manipulative. Very, very quickly.
And I saw recently the first vertical where a child slaps the adult and didn't get
My
corrected
God.
for that.
Okay.
So we are kind of, I'm hoping that that is not taking
Yeah.
over because that's a shit
Yeah.
thing. They are crossing
It's a
some
tricky one,
new
isn't it?
lines. Yeah, it
Yeah, and
isn't.
they want to keep making it more and more extreme because the extreme gets the engagement.
Yeah.
Engagement runs numbers. It's
Yeah.
dangerous, is what it is. I just don't think that that is why people watch verticals for the extreme. I think that is one really small window of through which people are looking at verticals and think that it's just about people looking and going, oh, that's crazy. Oh my God, that's crazy, which may have started there and it's a good way to get an audience, but it won't sustain.
If I would be a witch and can you and said to you, Teek, I give you one vertical wish, what would that be?
I wish for a true and viable independent vertical film market to develop in 2026. Something that like you can actually make good money developing and selling independent verticals into the market space.
Yeah.
I think that'll happen. I believe it's coming, but I would love that to happen as soon as possible because I'm ready to make moves, man.
Yeah, and as you said, you have now the 3 years visa, so you are totally in
Yeah.
at the moment.
I'm ready. Yeah. Ready and willing.
If there wouldn't be this visa type with Europe, would you shoot in Ukraine?
Yeah. I'd love to. I think
Although the
AMO Pictures
actual
out there are doing amazing
situation.
stuff. It's pretty crazy. And you listen to their interviews and it sounds amazing and so scary. And crazily, a lot of the work that AMO is doing is some of the best,
Yeah, absolutely.
which is interesting.
They are
So
also
like they're in a
publishing
war
on Drama
zone.
Pops, you know, as I said, Drama Pops.
Drama Pops are killing it. Killing it. I would love to. I would love to. I also like I'm European. I mean, I have a British passport, but my blood is Portuguese. I'm reticent to claim Europe anymore as British. I'm sorry, guys.
No,
But my blood
Great Britain
is
is the
European. I
Europe, it's not the
it
European
is, it is.
Union.
It is. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Tell the French that. But no, I love Europe. Europe has always been like a deeply important continent to me. I've traveled it several times, like as on my own with partners. I've like lived in Europe, and I don't know. I love it. I love Europe. So I would love to be able to go and feed back to the European scene and be part of it as it develops. So at some point, I'll get back over there.
So I will ask the question again, and you've never been in Germany?
Never. I know. I know. I had an ex-girlfriend whose grandmother was from Leipzig.
Yeah, but when you lived in the UK, hello, that's only a 2 hour
No, I know.
flight to come over.
I know. I
And you
know. I never
didn't.
went that far. I got as far as Holland and Belgium and then went down towards Portugal.
Yeah, but Holland, hello, there's directly the border to
It's
Germany.
literally, yeah, it's literally above. Yeah.
Teak,
Yeah.
have you ever
I
been to
know.
Switzerland or Austria?
No. My mother lived in Geneva, though, for a while.
Okay, so I see. You have to visit me because I'm totally in the south. 1 hour to Switzerland, 1 hour to Austria, 1.5 hour to France, and 1.5 hour to
Wow.
Luxembourg. So you can get
Yeah,
all in
cool.
one.
You're right in the middle. Yeah. No, I know I will love Germany. I just have to find the right reason to go, which now I guess I have one. And to come meet you and Dion and both.
I'm the old one. And we can discuss our vertical project then.
Yeah, but that's where we can write it. Yeah, exactly. We just need that angel investor. We need that one guy with deep
Teamwork
pockets.
makes the dream work.
Yes, ma'am. Say that again.
Teamwork makes the dream work. You know?
There it is. There it is. Clip it
As
up,
I said,
everybody.
you always need a vision. Otherwise, it cannot come true
Yeah.
if you don't even think about
I'm
it.
gonna put a pair of scrubs on my vision board. A pair of doctor's uniform. Yeah, I might buy some and just wear it around the city. Is that stolen valor? Can you wear doctor's uniforms around, or will people be like, "You're not a doctor"?
No, as long as you're not saying you are a doctor, why not? It's not an official
Oh,
uniform, you know what I mean?
I'm probably gonna say I'm a doctor, to be honest.
Have to
I live
say,
near a
I'm a.
hospital. I might just go walk down there and just walk around on my phone and pretend like, "Oh yeah, I'm on break," you
That
know.
always works at women, I can tell
Yeah,
you.
really? Yeah, okay. And then they find out that I've been lying to them and it's a vertical again. And they're like, "What?"
Hidden identity. No, you can tell them, I'm a cardiologist. I can make your heart beat, huh?
But I'm, oh, Kareem. Oh my God.
That will
Oh.
work, Teak.
Oh boy. When I come back with a slap mark on my face, I'm blaming you, yeah.
Why?
I'm
I
a
didn't.
cardiologist. I can make your heart beat. And then they go, "Oh, really? You work here?" And I'm gonna be like, yeah. And they're like, "Can I see your office?" And I'm gonna be like, "Oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah, we have to
Listen,
work on
I'm gonna
that
write
plan.
that. We have to put that into a vertical though. That's so good. That's so good. That's gotta be in our vertical. You're like, "Doctor, what will I do?" And I'm a cardiologist. I'll make your heart beat.
Then you see on the molly, and then you see on the
Like,
monitor, dee, 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 dee.
yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. Producers, get involved. I don't know why they're taking so long. Why isn't my phone ringing already?
Come on, it's a great storyline.
It's so good.
It's
I actually
kind of.
genuinely think you should write that. I'm not even joking. I think you genuinely should write that movie.
Maybe. I already published a book, but it was a cookbook. So it's not
It's not
that
quite
I'm not
the
confirmed with
same.
writing, but maybe I have to study how to write a vertical script. Because it's
There are
not that
classes.
I'm bad in words, because I did a long time an online blog and I got two offers from different companies to make a book out of it.
Oh,
So
wow.
it's not that I'm so bad in words. I just
It's
have
just
to
how to write a
check.
script, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, not as hard as it sounds. Just write one scene at a time.
You know, it would be easy if I would write it in German, then it's easier for me.
And then translate it. I agree. I mean it, dude. If you write it, I will help you make it. I mean it. I mean it. I mean it. I mean it. It's too good a story to miss.
And as I said, everyone is saying, no, that's so ridiculous that
Yeah, no
no one did
way.
they even thought about the reality of this storyline.
Meanwhile, you are living proof of a crazier story.
You know, because we don't need the billionaire in this story, and we don't need a
No.
stepmom and 6 times of slapping. We don't need that. The storyline itself is so good that
Yeah.
we can drop this classic tropes.
Exactly. And it will still be in the realm of the storytelling they like. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to do.
You
It's
could
only
even
little
make
differences. You just have to write well.
a rom-com out of it when the doctor falls for the patient or stuff like that. If you need
Yeah.
this typical love storyline also.
I'm the cardiologist, but you stole my heart.
I said, my cardiologist
It's
saw my
endless.
heart directly from the
Yeah.
inside and he fixed it.
Wow. I know you so well. I've seen you from the inside. I've
I know
seen
you
your heart.
inside out. I know you
Yeah,
inside
exactly.
out.
Oh God. Oh boy. I think it's illegal for a doctor to like make moves on his patient, but not in vertical land.
But I think it isn't when the when it's over treating.
Ah.
When
I saved your life. Now love me, please.
I
Right?
programmed your heart that you cannot resist me.
Oh boy. Now we're back in illegal again. Yeah. That's the police. Wee wee wee. Yeah.
You know, with feelings.
Yeah, with feeling. Exactly. Oh, dude, you're the best. Oh.
I love that having fantasy. Yeah. Life is drama enough.
Yes,
So
ma'am.
we need to
Yes, it
make the
is.
best out of the drama. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That would be so fun. If you would do that, Teek, that would be so
Oh, I would love it. I'm
I'm
so
not
down.
sure if we could be serious on set.
We'll try. We'll try. We just need to make it a comedy. A really light-hearted comedy. See what I did there? Light-hearted comedy. Yeah. Sorry.
But
That
we have to cast
was really
Zane
bad.
because Zane is normally always a villain. No, he just played a
Yeah.
good guy. And he told me he wants
We
to
should
play
make
more good guy
oh.
roles.
Zane should play the arithmetic. Zane should play like we zoom into your heart and it's Zane just playing bongos on your heart. Every
Zane
now
is
and again hits
living
that
in
one.
my heart. Hello?
Yeah, he's the problem. That's what I have to burn out when I go up your vein to get there. I gotta burn Zane
You
out. So
cannot
Zane's just playing
tell
bongos and a little
Zane,
like
you are the
thing.
next time when you meet with Zane, you said, Zane, do you know that you are Michaela's problem? And he was like,
Yeah, you're the
what?
arrhythmia. He's like, huh? What do you mean?
And then he will send me a message, Michaela's Teek told me I'm your problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll be nice about it. He'll still cry. He'll still be
Maybe,
upset, but I'll be nice when I bring him in.
hello, Zane has also like I have black hairs. Maybe he could be my loving and caring brother.
I thought you were going to say Zane could play you.
No.
Imagine, no, we just change it. We just change it. He can be Zane as well. We'll just call him Zane, but it's Zane's heart problem. Sorry, I'm giving away your role. Why would I do this? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
This is
hello.
your chance. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. We'll go back to what you said. He's the lover. Yeah.
And if
He's
Zane would
the
take my
friendly
role,
lover.
that wouldn't go on with the lovey-dovey scene, which is needed, you know, for the vertical.
Oh, true. That is true.
But we
Okay. So he's your
surely,
lover. Yeah.
but we sh no, we surely need, you know, kind of worried brother.
That's a good role. That's a really good role. Yeah, he's there and he's also a billionaire and he's paying for the surgery.
In Germany, it wasn't a problem
And
because of the insurance. You know what I mean?
yeah, healthcare. Isn't it great? Isn't it amazing? Good healthcare. Wow. It's almost like Germany guarantees healthcare and is still an economic powerhouse in the whole
You
world.
know
It's
what
amazing.
my healthcare costs were in the last years? I'm sure my healthcare system is not heavily happy about me.
Right. Yeah, you're costing them a lot. Well, that's the point of it. That's good.
Oh, she booked
That's
a
what they take that
helicopter
tax money
flight.
for.
Really? She booked a helicopter flight? Yeah, she booked a helicopter flight.
Yes. This is for fun. The view is better up there,
I
yeah.
saw, to be honest, I saw this life vest I needed to have. Costed 3,500 euro monthly rent.
Wow. Whoa.
Yep. I saw
Whoa.
that invoice.
That is crazy.
But I was
Oh
happy
my
that
days.
there
Well,
is
thank
the.
God you had access to it.
Absolutely, I didn't know that there is so some kind of the possibility like that.
That's so scary. It can
It saved
happen
my
any
life.
moment.
I called the vest only my bodyguard.
Yeah. Wow.
Let's see. Vertical life. I'm thinking about how I will call this episode.
You live a
Tilly
vertical life.
Savannah? No. The vertical doctor in the future, or the cardiologist the women needed, or how did
Oh
I
my God, that's the cardiologist the women needed.
it's kind of like, you know, here in Germany there are so many doctor soap operas and they are having titles such so stupid titles like that.
Thing is, it would do so well. It would be so successful. It would do so well, dude. The cardiologist all the women need.
Hello, my name is Teek. I'm the cardiologist you need, and you
All the
didn't
women need.
already know it.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh my days.
How can we
Well, we'll get
make
there.
this?
We'll do it.
Yeah, we have to do that. We have to make that possible, Teek.
Yes, ma'am.
Shit.
I am ready.
Hopefully, when I. Okay, listen. If I win the lottery, I will send you exactly two emojis, the doctor one and the money
Okay.
back one, okay?
Okay.
And then you know
Okay, I'm looking for this.
exactly,
Yeah.
and then you know exactly what happened.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Got you. I got you. Cool. I
Then you
won't
have
even
to.
ask for any. You as long as we make the movie, I'm okay. I'm not even gonna say, hey, you know how you got 80 million euros? I don't have 80 million euros. I won't do that. I'll be good. I just as long as we make the movie and I can play the doctor, it's fine.
Now you decline all
Dude, how have we
the
been talking for nearly 3 hours? What is happening? Oh,
We
bless.
have visions, and visions needed to be discussed. Teague.
Thank you. Yeah, we have visions, and visions needed to be discussed. I want that on my gravestone. Yeah. Put that on a t-shirt. Bake that into a cookie and send it to me.
You know, here it's saying carpe diem, and I'm doing
Carpe
nothing else.
diem.
Yeah, and I'm doing nothing else.
Seize it
That's it. No,
every day.
but getting serious to the end of this episode, I'm asking every time a five
Yeah.
question quickie.
Okay,
Everyone the
cool.
same five questions. So be serious for four, five more questions. We can discuss later after
Oh.
recording our script.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because it's a secret. We cannot spill it now. Otherwise, the idea
Okay.
will be stolen.
Oh, it's very true. It's okay.
So, psst. Hello. Welcome to my podcast. We are talking totally serious in a five question quickie with Teek, and I'm asking him what's his favorite dish? What do you like to eat?
Ooh, feijoada, a Brazilian Portuguese dish where you get meat on meat on meat with black beans, and it's like a stew. You do it with farofa. So good.
What is it called?
It's called feijoada.
Feijoada.
Feijo is the word for beans in Portuguese.
Okay.
Feijoada.
Huh.
It's
I
so
never heard
good.
that.
It's like a big winter stew. I'm sure you have something really similar in Germany, honestly.
Really?
I'm sure. Meat stew for sure, right?
You have to send me how it's written that I can Google it. Maybe I will try to
I'm going to
cook
send you
that.
the most delicious looking pictures. It's amazing. I need maybe I'm going to cook it actually. Maybe I should go down and buy the ingredients. It's so good.
Okay. Nice one. Do you have any comfort movie? A movie you rewatched, I
Ooh.
don't know, 100 times because you really liked it, classic one,
Yes.
childhood movie,
N
whatever.
yeah. There's a film called Nowhere Boy, which I love. When I was younger, it used to be my favorite. It's a biopic about John Lennon before he leaves to go to Germany, to Hamburg. And it's about him forming the Beatles. And it's so good. Aaron Taylor Johnson plays John Lennon. And as a teenager, I loved it. I used to watch it all the time.
Why? What makes this film so special?
I think the atmosphere is really good. They just did a really good job with the tone, and it feels like 1950s England as rock and roll is developing. So teenagers are starting to realize they have an identity, and music is becoming important to people. And it's part of that like time period when everyone went from wearing black and white to like colors. It's really cool.
Before the hippie time starts.
Yeah, just before it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
cool. That's cool. So, what type of music you're like? I saw you lately, you're posting sometimes kind of stories in your do it with mu different types of music. So,
I listen to a lot. I think I get a lot of messages being like, why do you listen to like random music? And because I think people think like, I don't know. I wonder why people think that people only listen to like one type of music. I listen to like everything, but I listen to a lot of like folk music, and that like what I've been posting recently is like Sufjan Stevens or Keaton Henson, which is like sort of softer guitar based music, and more on the folky side. But I also listen to a lot of like neo soul, so like I love neo soul hip hop from like England. That's like a weird little crossover of genres that is so good right now. There's like so many young female artists coming out of the UK right now who are like a really cool hip hop artists, but they operate more in the jazz, kind of jazz soul space, and I love it. I really love it. Think people like Little Sims or Nyana Iz. There's so many really cool artists at the moment. So yeah, but I also love the blues. I mean, I grew up listening to Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix was like the beginning of my musical taste. Jimi Hendrix and David Bowie. And then
Oh,
somewhere
David
between
Bowie
them,
is
it became everything
great.
else.
I
Yeah.
heard today a lot of Go-Go Dolls. Do you know Go-Go Dolls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love the song
Yeah.
Iris. I
Yeah,
love
great
that
song.
song.
I might have to go after this and go listen to some Go Go Dolls, actually.
Yeah, I heard today a lot of Go-Go Dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Okay,
don't
I'm
know
gonna put
why,
Iris
but
on when we wrap.
yeah, I love to drive with the car and sing along to Iris. I had
Oh,
some
yes,
singing
I really miss
lessons.
driving.
I had to sing. I had some singing lessons in school earlier, and I'm hosting every year a garden concert here at my house
Oh,
with
wow.
artists from all over. And I
Oh, that's
had,
so cool.
yeah, Unplugged. If you sing, you love folk. I had this year. It's the 10th episode, so kind of yay.
Wow.
On the third
And you wait,
one,
you record it? Do
no,
you film it? No, it's just like
no.
for the people. Yeah. So
It's I
cool.
have 1,000 square feet garden here because I have two dogs and four chicken. I have also chicken. And in my garden, I'm hosting a garden concert. It was born this idea. Normally, when I was studying, I lived with 12 male roommates. 12 male
Okay,
roommates
wow.
and I.
12. Okay.
And two of them played really well the guitar. So we did a lot of jam sessions and sofa concerts in our home because I was singing along because of my singing lessons. They
Cool.
were playing along and we had really great time. And when we were finished studying, I missed that time really much. And in my old apartment, I had a really big living room. And they surprised me coming over to my birthday. And then they bring their guitars with. And it was so nice. And I said, oh, we have to do that more often. And then one of them said, yeah, we can host every year a sofa concert at your home. You are doing some finger food stuff. And then we are doing an unplugged sofa concert. But
Such a
then I
great idea.
moved. And I moved to this house, and this colleague called me on my next birthday. Yeah, we should do that. And I said, listen, the problem is I don't have that big living room anymore, but I have now 1,000 square feet garden. And then he called me the next day again and said, Michaela, I had this night a vision. That's why I'm always love to talk about visions. And I said, what vision? And he said, how does Michaela's Soundgarden sounds? And I said, tell me more. He said, yeah. Let's host it in the garden and make it a sound garden project. And I said, oh, that sounds fine. And then we did the first one with, I think it was 40 people audience, just like small unplugged stuff. And I created a big finger food stuff and got some drinks. And normally we thought we will do it only once. But my colleague was so smart, put on the flyer volume one. And he said, yeah, if we ever make another one.
Smart.
So. And then all the audience said, oh, that was so nice. You have to do that next year again. And then we did it in the second year. And in the second year, I posted it on Instagram, some stories about that, some BTS stuff. And a folk singer from Ireland saw this and texted me and said, oh, I want to play in your garden as well. And I said, yeah, he's in Europe on tour. He wants to come over. He sent me some links from his music and he did some really great Irish folk music. And I was sitting here with my friends and my parents and I said, listen, I got asked from an Irish folk singer. He wants to join, but the problem is he will be in Europe touring in November. And my dad said, then, yeah, that's not a problem. We will build a big tent. Then we rented a tent with 80 square feet, did it because it was the week before the Advent, so the Christmas season started here. We put all the lights, it was kind of Christmas look-alike. And that in this tent were sitting 70 people, and he was standing at the stage. We built stage of wood, so kind of so
That's so
and he
cool.
was singing. I can send you a video. He was singing Irish folk songs in this tent. It was so such a cozy atmosphere, and everyone was happy in this tent, and it was so great. And he posted that on his Instagram, and one from Canada saw this one, and then he texted me, "I want to play in your garden also." And I said, "Yeah, listen, but then in summer because I'm not willing to build every year a tent. No way." And then he came over in the next summer, and since then, one from Canada. I had also a duo from San Francisco here, then two German rock bands. In one year, it was a band edition with two rock bands from Germany. And last year, one from England was here. A blues singer from England was here last year.
Your
And
garden is the place to be, dude.
this year, it's the 10th episode. So, yeah. Only once, you know, we will do
That
it
is
only once.
amazing. That's
Yeah, and
amazing.
round about 100 people audience, big finger food in a total natural
Oh,
atmosphere
dude,
of
I
my
can't wait.
garden.
Next summer, I'm coming.
4th of July is the next one this year.
4th of July. Okay. Look, if all of my visa stuff is sorted out and I can get back across the border, I'm coming, dude. That
4th
sounds
of
so
July
lit.
this year, the 10th episode. If you will come over, you get the great one, you know, the big one. Because
The
it's the
big
10th
one.
episode. Yep, I
Oh,
will
that's
pick you up
so
at the
cool.
airport, Teague. I
Listen,
will
I'll let
do
you know.
that.
I'll let you know. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's kind of special because I or my thoughts about creating this Soundgarden was after my brain surgery and my memory losses, I decided to create more memories because I worked a lot before this brain surgery and was near to the burnout. And it was not clear if I would wake up for this brain surgery. They were 50-50, the docs told me. And I swore to myself, if I will wake up, I have to reorganize my life and create more nice memories. Because if I will die one day, it doesn't for me matter when. And as you know, the chances are really high in my life. I don't know why, but yeah. So
At any moment, apparently, yeah.
I want that the people are saying at my funeral, she loved her life and she did crazy thing and make great memories. And I don't want that the people are saying, oh yeah, she worked so much. Yeah, she barely had the time to do something else. She was so, you know what I mean? So in this Soundgarden, every year it's you see exactly the people are coming over, sitting there, relaxed, enjoy the evening with the food, the big finger food, listening to the music for 2, 3 hours, and then they are going back home. And every year there are some new people who never have been here. Some people come over every year because they always want to have this great evening and this kind of specialty. So, yeah, as I said, normally we want to do it once, but now we're at the 10th episode this year,
Yeah, it's
so.
10 now. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, no, I love this type, and I love this type of music, you know, unplugged music, no fancy super technique, someone
I
who
so
can
agree.
sing along and give you a great feeling with the music. I love that one. So it doesn't matter for me. The rock band or the blues singer or the Irish folk, everything was special in its own way. So I totally understand it when you're saying you're not only listening to one type of music, because for me the performance makes the music and not the music
Yeah,
itself
absolutely.
mostly. So yeah. Okay, short story for that. We go back to the last two questions. If I would have never seen one vertical. Which one of yours would you advise me to watch and why?
Maybe after divorce, I enter my cougar era because I think that what that script does is it tells a kind of tropey divorce story, but it does it with a level of heart that I don't think any of my other ones have kind of dealt with. I really like what Kate Krieger does with that role as well. I think she's done a really good job to make that role dignified. And so I think that's really cool to see a divorced woman who is sort of labeled a cougar in the title of the movie. But she does it with such a level of grace and like dignity that I think it carries the story. Again, it's one of those moments where her quality of acting helps make the project better.
Yeah,
Quality equals better project. Simple. So I
absolutely.
think that's probably a good one.
And had a lot of classic tropes in it.
Had the
Vertical
tropes
character.
still, vertical characters all the way through it, silly cheating, divorce. Horses, rah, 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 rah. But there was like moments that I think are really good. There's a scene with me and her in the front garden, where we're in a tent that I think is actually a moment where both of us got a chance to act with one another, which is something that is a bit few and far between sometimes in verticals. And it felt like we really had a moment to like breathe in that, which I want more of that. I cannot wait to work with Kate more. I will pull her into everything I'm doing if I have a chance, because she's just such a powerhouse of an actor, and we need more of her in verticals.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, last question before we are closing this episode, which genre you want to see more on you in the vertical space?
Ooh, I think for the near future, I would love to make a pretty consistent move with rom-coms. Like good quality rom-coms though, like done well. I think there's a specific type of New York City rom-com from the early 2000s, which is right on point. It's like the exact right tone for verticals. And I think that that will be the what will save New York vertical production at the moment, is if we just really perfect the rom-com genre here. So hopefully that, I hope we got a year ahead of us of really good rom-com production.
Hopefully. And I
Yeah.
would love to see
Eventually,
more
I'd love to do everything. I
comedy.
want to do a cowboy movie. Yeah, comedy would be great.
Oh, yes, the Western one. I spoke
Yeah.
already with Roberta Spata, the director one at Wreckton, and I told her I want so badly an old classic Western one with the saloon
I have
style and the.
Oh, I'm so glad you said it. Yep, I have written a 100-page vertical cowboy film that is an homage to old school cowboy films. It's sitting in my living room right now. It's ready to go. It's just expensive. So we need to figure out a way to get, well, when you win the Euro
Yeah, okay,
lottery,
we can do that
we can
also.
fund it.
Yeah.
But a bit, honestly, I got to the point, I found a ranch out in California in the Yucca Valley that like has a whole an old town that would be perfect to shoot in. They also have a costume department. The biggest problem I came to was horses, and you need a lot of money for insurance when you're dealing with horses.
That would be my part. I'm really good in organizing and project management because I studied that, you know?
Yeah, cool. And you'll be bringing in the Euro Millions, so we're gonna need you. You can pay for the horses.
What? It does
But
cost
yeah,
a
that's
million more?
this is
No
in the
problem.
plans. Yeah,
Oh,
literally.
we have a lot to do, Tig. Whew.
We do. We do. Doctor Cowboy. Yeah. You're gonna have to somehow edit this conversation.
You know, it's all recorded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mostly of it. You know, the first one
Yeah.
and a half hour, not.
It was not recorded. Yeah. All of the heart surgery stuff. Yeah. Not recorded. But that's okay.
I'm fine with that. Teek, thank you so much for your
Yeah.
time
Me
for
too.
this episode. And it
Thank
was
you
such a
so much for
pleasure.
having me.
It was such a pleasure talking to you. And
Dude,
I
I
would say
appreciate you.
we stay in contact.
No, I agree. I agree. This is great. You're a good friend. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Teek, and say bye hi.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.